Avodah Zarah, Perek Hey, Mishnah Base 5-2. This Mishnah is very important in terms of principles for kashrus in general. The context is Yayin Nesach, which is what's called the Isra, the forbidden part, and it's mixing with other things. So there's a lot to talk about in terms of Tarubos, the halachas of mixtures, but the essential points that are being discussed or that are operating in our Mishnah is that when you have the taste of something that's forbidden, present in something which is permitted, so then we say tam ki'ikar, we treat the taste as if it's physically present, and therefore the mixture of the permitted substance, even with a minority of forbidden substance, since there's a presence of taste there, the mixture is forbidden. Okay, this stands in contrast to other scenarios where we know what's called, what's yavish b'yavish, two things which aren't mixing their tastes together, that's a loose translation, where then we have a bittul barov. If you have a simple majority of permitted against a minority of forbidden, it's going to be okay. Okay, but here, once you have a taste transfer, so then, as long as the taste of the forbidden item is present, so then in general, the mixture is forbidden. There's an important, a couple important caveats. First of all, taste transfer either has to be there's a physical be'en, the sum of the forbidden item now mixed in here, like wine mixed in, or even if you hypothetically could have removed all of the forbidden stuff, but if the contact happened in a situation of when there was heat presence, like yotze lettuce bowl, so deficient heat, so then we say the taste transfers as well, or even if it's something sits for 24 hours, we say taste transfers, so that's important. All that said, there's a separate rule, which is going to be coming to play in our Mishnah, and it's really very relevant in terms of all the kulas that come out in terms of when you have accidents in the kitchen, which is the principle is called nosen tam lefagam. If there is a transfer of taste, but that transfer is detrimental to the taste of the original, the heter, the permitted substance, so then the transfer of the bad taste doesn't make the item forbidden, again, assuming that there's a majority of permitted stuff there. So in a scenario where the forbidden wine mixes in a way that makes things taste worse, so then still b'di'evet, it would be okay. The mixture would be okay, meaning permitted to be eaten. Okay, so that's sort of the principles of work. Now let's just see that there's more details. It seems like the Mishnah. It says, Ye nesach shenafel al gabi anavim. You have yai nesach, forbidden wine, that splashes onto grapes. Now grapes, assuming that they're intact, so like the hole is filled up where the connection, the stem is there. So grapes are essentially like watertight, right? They don't absorb water. The skin is watertight and they're smooth. They don't hold on to water. So that being the case, how could you make sure you get all the forbidden mixture, the forbidden entity of yai nesach off? Simply yedichen v'hen mutaros. Just rinse them off and then the grapes will be permitted. Because we don't, after you rinse them off, we have no reason to believe there's any residual tam, any taste, certainly nothing but you've washed it all off, and even no taste transferred into the grapes. The grapes have like a, you know, the skin that doesn't absorb taste under normal circumstances. If you leave the grapes and the wine mixed up for more than 24 hours, then we would say that, you know, some taste does leach in. If the wine hypothetically were hot, it could transfer taste, but if it's cold wine, not for 24 hours, and the Yerushalmi says it has to have that the stem is still intact, because if the stem is missing off the top of the grape, there's like a hole where the grape juice, the wine could leak in there. So if you don't have it, if that's all taken care of, then just rinsing it off is sufficient. Mutaros, everything's good. Just, you know, rinse it off with cold water and be done with it. Vimhayu muvukaos. If those grapes, however, were split open, so it's like a crack in the skin of the grape, such that if the wine fell in it, it would leach into the grape itself. So then, asuros, then the grapes become forbidden because rinsing them off won't help. We have to be afraid that there's still a presence of wine inside there and you'll be able to taste the wine. So as long as you can taste the wine in the grapes, then it would be, the mixture would be forbidden. A couple just important caveats in terms of taste to know. The first is, in general, the Gemara's approach is that if the taste is present, it's forbidden, and therefore, how would you know if taste is present? You'd have to get a trained palate, like a chef, someone who really is whose mouth is sensitive to taste, and you'd have to have him to sort of assess the situation. Can you taste wine here or not? Now, for more than one reason, the Ashkenazi minhag is dismissed it altogether. obviously not very practical to find a kfila or mai, like a Gentile chef, for goodness sakes. And on top of that, he has to say it lefitumo, he has to like sort of say his take on the taste here without knowing that it has halachic implications, because maybe he'll just lie to you because he doesn't care about your kosher, whatever the story is. So because of that, certainly there's plan B, which became plan A for Ashkenazim, is to assume that if you have 60 times the volume of permitted against one time the volume of forbidden substance, or more than 60 or more against one, then we assume that the taste is no longer discernible and the mixture becomes permitted. Okay, by Sephardim, still, you could go to a good old kfela armai if you have a handy, if you have a Gentile chef who you can get the facts out of without tipping them off to the halakha consequences, you could do that as well. In any case, that's the issue of taste. The second thing is we have to differentiate between what's called min b'mino and min b'she'eno mino. If you're talking about two things mixing where they have, like I'll call it, different tastes. So our mission here is assuming that the taste of a grape is not the same as the taste of wine, and therefore there's two different tastes mixing, and you could sort of question, you know, if the taste is present. There's a separate question which would come up. What happens if you have, like, essentially kosher wine mixing with not kosher wine? So that's the topic of a Mishnah later on at the end of the parak. So we'll get to that later on. Over here, the assumption is if the grape is split open, then you have no idea how much wine fell in there. You'll be able to taste the wine. Therefore, the grapes that are split are all forbidden. Now, the next part of the Mishnah, not all Gersa even have this, but assuming it's in, like we have in our Gersa here, Nafal al gabi te'enim ol gabi tamarim. If the forbidden wine fell onto figs, these are going to be fresh figs, as opposed to dried figs, or on top of tamarim are dates. So the feature, the reason why figs are interesting is because figs, the skin is kind of soft and a little bit porous, so taste will like leach into the skin, in contrast to the grapes where it wouldn't. So we have to be afraid, once you've got wine spilling on the figs, so then the wine's going to get, the taste of the wine will find its way into the fig itself. As far as tamarim go, dates, so date skin is pretty hydrophobic, it's not going to like absorb so much. The problem is that dates have lots of cracks and crevices, so you can't be sure that just because you've rinsed it off that there's no residual kind of wine in the crevices of the date. So because of those more complex issues when it comes to fresh figs and dates, im yesh ben benos en tam, if there's enough wine residual in the fig or in the date such that its taste is discernible, benos en tam, there's a taste present in it, so then asur, then they're forbidden. Again, you need your good old kfela armai to taste it out, etc. Okay? Rinsing alone is not good enough. That's the point, because you know this, the sum residual is left behind. Now, we have a maisa next. The maisa means it once happened, a story. Now, the Mishnah is not supposed to give a maisa list, or not supposed to give a story which contradicts what we said before. The points of the stories in the Mishnayos are essentially always to corroborate the principle from before. So the Gemara ends up saying there's some missing words here, and the missing words introduce the principle of nosen tam lefagam, which I explained before. So the point is, we're assuming that if you spill some wine onto your dates or onto your figs, that would enhance their taste or enhance their, you know, maybe they just become more moist, more flavorful, whatever the story is, and that's the problem. But now we're about to talk about dried figs. So dried figs, grogros, they apparently taste worse once you add wine to them. So therefore you have a nosen tam lefagam issue. The taste, even if it's present, is bad news, which makes for leniency. And therefore, says the mission now inside, Maisa, it once happened, Bebaisus ben Zonin, this fellow, Shehevi grogros besfina. He was transferring dried figs on a boat. V'nishtabra chavis shel yayin nesech, some wine by one of the Gentile travelers, the barrel that held it burst open, v'naflal gabayan, and the wine splashed onto the dried figs. So he didn't know what to do. V'sha'al l'chacham, he asked his local Orthodox rabbi, whoever the chacham were, that he can access to, v'hitirim, and the chachamim said, those dried figs are permitted. Why are they permitted? Because it said before, that the wine would be nosen tam l'fagam, as the Mishnah speaks out here. Z'haklal, the governing principle in these questions is, kol shebahanaso benosen tam, any time that the contribution of the taste is to a person's benefit, it improves or enhances the taste or flavor, texture, whatever it is, of the food, then the iser, if the taste is present and you can detect that it's here, so then the mixture is asur, it's forbidden. Kol she'ein b'ha naso b'nosan tam. However, any time that if there's a contribution of taste, but it's to the detriment of the foodstuff, so then the mixture b'di'evid, of course not l'chil, but b'di'evid is mutter. Kagon chometz shenafal al gabi grisin, and the Mishnah gives a specific example, that if you have grisin, which are like ground beans, and if they're hot ground beans, so then vinegar spilling on them is bad news. It's pogem, it detracts from the taste, and therefore if the treif vinegar splashes on the hot beans, it's going to be okay b'di'evid. Okay, the Gemara ends up started asking questions about, well, what about cold beans, or to be beneficial, and do we differentiate between if it started out being bad but it could be good later on, or started being good and get bad later on? Those questions remain unresolved in the Gemara, so we're strict. So the bottom line is that we assume that mixtures that contain Isser and Heter are forbidden. If we can say that the contribution of the taste is certainly always going to be bad news, then b'di'evid will be okay. And without getting into a whole new can of worms, just speaking out to you, that's the beginning of the discussion about this topic that always comes up in the kashrus of one's kitchen. Was it a ben yomo? Was it a has been used in the past day? The idea is that after 24 hours, whatever food that's, whatever flavors that are absorbed into the walls of the pot, whatever it is, are now no longer flavorful. They're not, they're pogem. They're bad news. Who wants those old flavors? And that's why you'll be able to have leniency, essentially, if with the Nesina's Tom of taste transfer, if the taste is more than 24 hours old, under normal circumstances with the 101 caveats, which are topics for beyond our Mishnah.